39. A Swollen River. Throughout the day, Modo watched and listened carefully, but the tribe no longer seemed to be following him. He felt relief and fear. If they weren't watching over him, then he was very much on his own. With each step, he wondered if his encounter with the natives had gone exactly as he remembered it. He'd lost blood and was still a little woozy from his fall. Could the whole thing have been a dream? His pocketful of berries told him otherwise. The deep rumble of a steam-powered engine could be heard in the sky. He scrambled to the topmost branch of a pine tree, so high that the tree began to wave back and forth, hoping to see the Prince Albert. To his dismay, he spotted the Prometheus. The airship had been repaired and was travelling northwest. Perhaps they were searching for him. He ducked behind the branches. Well, if they were going back to their base, he'd been heading in the right direction. He climbed back down to the forest floor and followed his compass. After another hour of trudging, he came to the river that he was sure had been on the map. The map had led Moda to believe it would be a relatively minor river, but instead it was a deep body of green water that cut through the bottom of a gorge. Using vines as handholds, he carefully climbed down the gorge wall and stood on a large, flat rock, staring at the surface of the river. What demonic jungle creatures lurked below? A school of piranha, which would consume a man one razor-sharp bite at a time? Water snakes that swallowed their prey whole? Several gigantic smooth rocks jutted across the river, looking as though they'd been tossed there by some capricious god. They were so far apart it would be impossible to hop from one to the other, and he wasn't going to risk swimming across. But it was heartening to find the river, for it meant he was closing in on his destination. He hopped from stone to stone along the bank, searching for a way to cross and keeping his eyes open for predators. The gorge provided a break from the overhanging forest, so there was a lot more sunlight, so much that he had to squint at times. He began to give up hope of finding an easy way to cross, and once again contemplated swimming the river. He eyed a few of the fish he could see in the clear water, small, with backs speckled black and white. Piranha? Or perch? Once again he admonished himself for not memorizing some of the naturalist illustrations he'd seen as a child. His education was lacking. He finally found one lone tree at a bend in the river that had grown in an arc toward a tree on the opposite shore. Something moved in the nearer tree's foliage, and as he approached, an animal that looked half kangaroo and half monkey hopped and climbed through the branches, using its long tail to steady itself. It swung from the tree to the one on the opposite side, making the feat look relatively easy. Moments later it had jumped to another tree and vanished in the forest. Modo inspected the unusual tree. Its bark was grey, its narrow roots well exposed above ground, buttressing the tree. He shinned up the trunk to the closest leafy branch, beginning to feel the exhilaration he'd always felt when climbing, but kept a wary eye out for snakes. When he was near the top, the tree started to bend, and he began to feel fear. In his excitement about finally crossing the river, he'd forgotten he was a lot heavier than the monkey creature. He inched farther along the branch. The tree on the opposite bank didn't look so close now, but he was pretty certain he could still make the leap. And so he grabbed a branch above him and swung back and forth, building momentum. Just as he was about to let it go, it broke. By pure luck, he hit the branch below with both feet and pushed off it, launching himself over the water and catching a branch on the opposite tree. It snapped and he fell, crashing through several branches, then latching onto one only a few feet above the water. It promptly snapped and he dropped into the water with a great splash, falling so hard and deep that his buttocks hit the rocks on the bottom. Piranha! Snakes! He shot up in a wild panic, to find he was standing in waist-deep water. He charged the short distance to the riverbank, gasping and panting in relief that nothing had bitten him. Laughter could be heard in the trees on the other side of the river, and Modo wondered whether it was a human or a kookaburra bird, known for its cry that sounded like human laughter. Modo straightened himself, squeezed the excess water from his cloak, and climbed up the gorge and back into the rainforest. According to the map, the temple wasn't far from the river, but it wouldn't be easy to spot. After 1,000 years or more of growth, the forest would have reclaimed it. That said, if Miss Hackendotte was already there, He would hear the camp noises before he saw them. As if on cue, there was a metallic clanging in the distance. Modo shook his head. Such a coincidence had to be his imagination getting the better of him. He listened intently. Nothing. He pushed his way through the vines until clang, clang. There it was again. It wasn't a noise animals would make, and so far as he'd seen, the natives didn't have metal. He moved toward the sound, working his way up an incline. The map had indicated that the temple was on the slope of a small mountain, looking down on the surrounding forest. He came to a clearing, and there it was, at the far end of a great plateau, jutting out of a small mountainside.